Amen. Okay, you can have your seat. All right. This is what we're going to be looking at today. I want to kind of first off start with this. Usually in this account, this parable of the Good Samaritan, we have somebody that we kind of relate to. Whether it be the Good Samaritan, like maybe you are really a kind person and you're like, man, I'm like the Good Samaritan. And you're just like, man, I have compassion. I love people. You know, and maybe you're more like the priest or the Levite who, you know, you're like, oh, that's for sure me. I'm crossing the street. If I see somebody laying on the ground, it's like, oh, nah, I'm good. You know, or maybe you relate more to the one who was robbed. Maybe you feel like just broken and like, man, there's someone just messed up my life. I feel so hurt and broken. But I want to kind of lay out some understanding of this account. The priest, if there was anyone who would have known God's law, it would have been the priest. Okay, Jesus was giving this account, and he used these two examples for a reason. By nature of this position, the priest was to be a person of compassion, desiring to help others. They were supposed to help. This is the role of the priest. It's like you going to an EMT, you know, someone in an ambulance, and you have like a major issue, like a cut or injury, and you go to them, and they say like, go ask somebody else. That's kind of the attitude that we're showing that the priest has. He has no compassion. He walks the other way. He crosses away from them, right? The Levite would also have known the law. He would also have failed to show the injured man compassion. So Jesus gives this example of these two, we can say pretty confidently, religious figures. So religious figures, metaphorically, we're talking about those who are familiar with we can bring into a modern day context and say we're talking about those who are familiar with the church, those familiar with scripture, those familiar with the practice of Christianity. And Jesus uses this example of these two religious figures and shows them leaving or going away from the one who needed help. And in this, I'll be very honest with you. You know, when I was sitting down and we were sitting with a bunch of other pastors, I read this and I was like, I'm a priest, bro. I really am. I see people that are hurting or something's going on in their life, and I'm like, yeah, they'll figure it out. You know, like, they're just kind of trying to get somewhere. I really was so convicted because I was like, my heart is not directly the Good Samaritan. My heart is not like, oh man, let me stop everything I'm doing, all my plans, and pay attention to this person's issue. That's not what I do. As a matter of fact, I feel like I'm such a planner, and I'm so like execute, that if anything goes off, I get frustrated. Ask my wife. You know? Like, she'll be like, babe, calm down. There's nothing we can do. I'm like, but if we should have planned for this. That's always my attitude, you know? Like, and the reality was this, that I'm looking, reading the scripture, and I realized, I naturally, Gabriel Menchaca, am more like the priest who would cross the street away from the person because it's not in my timeline. It's not in my plan. I don't actually see them as needing me. I don't. And we look at this, and like I said, some of you may feel like you relate more to the Good Samaritan, and praise God, man. Like, that's awesome. I'm not making fun of him, saying, wow, that's awesome, because I'm not that. And the more I read about this, the more the depth of what this was supposed to be. If we go to the book of Leviticus 21, Leviticus is an Old Testament book, okay? And there's a lot of laws. Leviticus actually is in reference to the Levite, okay? So Leviticus is where we find some laws for the priest and the Levites. In verse 1 through 3 of chapter 21 of the book of Leviticus, you can turn there. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, no one shall make himself unclean for the dead among his people. Okay, so let's stop there real fast. There was a law in place, okay, that Moses put in place. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, no one shall make himself unclean for the dead among his people. So one of the things that we could assume in giving a positive light to the priest and the Levite is that perhaps they were just trying to follow the law that was imposed on them. Maybe they saw this person on the ground and they thought, they're dead. I'm not supposed to touch them. And they were just trying to stick to the law. Okay, that's a possibility. In verse 2 and 3, it says, except for his closest relatives, his mother, his father, his son, his daughter, his brother, or his virgin sister. We look at, there's a context here that you're not supposed to touch the dead as a priest or a Levite. Okay, now, in contrast to that, we have people who were looked at as highly political, religious figures who were influential into society. And Jesus paints a picture that's not very nice. He's presenting that as like there was a guy who was broken and hurting and half dead. And the religious ones, they passed right by him. And this is the picture Jesus is painting. Okay, but then we look at the Samaritan. The Samaritan is, you know, Martha read, the version said despised Samaritan. But even if you take out despised, Samaritans were considered a low class of people by the Jews since they had intermarried with non-Jews and did not keep the whole law. So here you have these people who are influential, they're impactful, they're disciplined, they keep the whole of the law, they are people to be looked at as examples, they're in, like I said, they actually have some authority in society. And then you have the Samaritan, who's considered a low class of people, they married people they weren't supposed to marry, and they didn't keep the whole law. And there's a few areas to unpack here, okay? So this is good, okay? When I remember learning and recognizing and understanding this, and it was so helpful for me. The first point would be this. In this account, none of us are the Good Samaritan. None of us. And you may relate and feel like, man, I feel like I'm helpful. I can see people and I can help them. And that's not wrong. But what I'm saying is that in reality, in our walk, in our pursuit of who Jesus is, we have to come to the clarity that we are not the Good Samaritan. We're not. Let me say it like this. It is not our work to fix people. It's not our work. It's not our job. It's not my job that if someone walks in, I fix them. I hold no responsibility for that. The Bible lays it out for us. It teaches us. And the understanding here in this account is for us to know we, as God's people, are not the Good Samaritan in this. That's not our role. And it's almost relieving because it's like, okay, so I don't have to hold the responsibility of fixing people. And it's a good paradigm shift because then it teaches you how to pray. It teaches you how to care for people. It's this, I'm going to care for them, but it's not my job to fix them. It's not my job to make them whole. That is God's job. Okay, so we are not the Good Samaritan. It is not our work to fix people. It is God's work. We read in Matthew 20, verses 1 through 2. Okay, in the book of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 through 2, for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius, a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And I know that's kind of like, wait, what does that have to do with what we're talking about? After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius per day, a day, he sent them into his vineyard. There's a correlation that the Good Samaritan, he pays the innkeeper. In verse 35 of the book of Luke, chapter 10, that's our main verse, our main scripture. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. So we know this, 2 denarii. 1 denarii is a payment. 1 denarius is a payment for one day. So he gives him 2. And then he says, when I get back, I'll pay the whatever's left over. So we talk about this idea of the Good Samaritan, and we recognize that here he is saying, on the day that you see me again, the third day, everything will be paid. And there's a recognition of Jesus himself, and putting himself as the Savior, that we can recognize that the Good Samaritan is the one who holds the cost, not us. The Good Samaritan is the one who fixes people, not us. And we go even further. He gave him for 2 days. Okay? And on the third day, he will cover the cost of everything. And we look even further. And this is where all of us as Christians, regardless of our mindsets, philosophies, positions, or understanding of what church is or isn't, what we like in worship, what we don't like in worship, whatever preferences we have to come to the same position to understand this, that we are not the Good Samaritan. We are not the hero of any story when it comes to the church or our Christian life. We are the servants. The Good Samaritan gives him two denarii, right? And when the Good Samaritan brings the wounded, half-dead man, he brings him to this place. It's called the inn, right? It's the inn. He takes him to this place, and he drops him off. He literally brings him, right, on his own horse, his donkey, right? He brings him in his car, we could say, right? He rolls up to this place, and he drops him off at this place and says, take care of him. So when we read this, we can come to this understanding. In Luke 10, 34 through 35, he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. See, I was convicted to the core when I first heard this. Because what I recognized was that the church is the inn. The church is the place that Jesus drops people off and says, take care of them. And the innkeeper is like the pastors or the servants of the house of God, and we're instructed to care for the hurting. And whatever more we spend, we will be repaid when he comes back. Let me explain this to you. It's not just about money. Guys, I'm saying this to you having spent the last, 18 years in full-time ministry, coming back and working a job so we can plant a church, saying that this is the answer. This is the local church is the answer. I'm committed to that. I'll go to work and I'll make this, I'll do everything I can to help this go, to build this, to see what God can do, because I know I've seen it. And I'm saying to you, the commitment is understanding that the church is the inn. And as the innkeeper, we are promised that whatever we give, time, life, money, relationship, the loss of the things that we desire in career or goals or investment or property and all those things that we've given up to say, Lord, I want to serve you. The scripture teaches us that when he returns, he will repay whatever else we have spent to care for people. Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Now, this is separate and subsequent to our salvation, meaning this, we don't work for salvation. We're not doing these things to be saved. As I said before, God has already saved us. What we're doing is we're serving him. And for me, like, I view it as a competition of like, Lord, I'm going to do more than the other person because I want to spend time with you. I want you to know me. I don't want people, I don't want the scriptures teach that the demons told the disciples, Paul I know, this guy I know, but who are you? I feel like, man, no, they're going to know my name. I'm going to be so committed to what you want me to do, Lord. And Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Now, the question is this. It's not for salvation. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about this in the service of the inn. The church, the quote is like this, the church is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints. And so the reality is this, that what's he even going to repay you? What have you spent? What have you given to say, Lord, I'm gonna sacrifice to help people, to see them come in and to see them come to fullness and wholeness of knowing you? Because I'm not here to save them. I'm not here to fix them. It's not my job to make them whole. But if they know you, Mark 2:16-17 says this, and the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. The reality of this, okay, we have unique approaches to church. And I've said this before to some of you privately, and I'm confessing it. Like, you know, I'm not a perfect person in any way. I don't have a heart for certain types of people. I don't. Like, someone may feel like, man, I want to go reach this group of people over here, and I want to help them. You know, I see them as broken, hurting, needy. And I'm like, man, good, because I don't at all. I'm like, bro, give me some distance. And that's just the reality of me being imperfect. And there are some of you who you have to deal with that. You have to figure out, like, man, that's just not your heart. But there's a clarity of, like, there is a call. There is a call to action for us as being part of the inn, as being part of where Jesus drops people to be cared for. And that is where we start and ask and say, Lord, Holy Spirit, do in me a work that impacts and is effective to bring glory to your name in those around me. There's just, like I said, when I read this, I was convicted to the core. As we go back to the verse 31, now by chance a priest in verse 10 or chapter 10 of Luke. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Melvin, if you can come up and start strumming. But now by chance, wording from verse 31 again. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Whatever the excuses, we see here that they didn't pay attention to the person that needed help. And I can tell you 100%, I will 100% make that mistake. I will miss when someone needs help. I will miss it. And I'm saying to you, to all of us, to be aware that, man, the Holy Spirit, it will prompt us. You know, and even in our imperfections where we're like, man, I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. I'm not perfect. I'm not following the rules like they're following the rules. Verse 33, but a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and we saw him, had compassion. We can trust that Jesus is going to meet people and that we're going to be here to receive them, to take care of them, to help them, to say, man, Jesus is the answer. We're not the good Samaritans. We're not the perfect ones. You're going to come in and you're going to see us, and we're just pretty broken too, pretty messed up. Jealousies, brokenness, ugliness, we get angry, all those things that happens. But to see Jesus in this, to see Jesus in this church, in this inn, to say he drops us off, and he drops people off, and we get to care for them. Let's stand, church. I want to give space for this. And I don't want to rush this. You know, some of you may know the mantras, but what you don't know is